all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Ralph Howick and Gail Tyree of Southern Urban Gardens. They have a very interesting story to tell, but we're going to start, Ralph, with you and your military background. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Okay, thank you, Jim. My military career consisted of 5 years active duty, primarily with the 1st Cav Division, 1st Cavalry Division in Fort Hood, Texas, with the U.S. Army. I was a field artillery officer, 13 Alpha 00 for anyone who has an interest in MOSs. And as a junior officer, I moved on from the Army after 5 years, resigned my commission as a junior captain, and from there went to work for Ford Motor Company up in Dearborn, Michigan as a product development engineer. Many of you may remember the U.S. auto industry in the early 1980s was having a tough time. After about a year and a half there, I decided to move on and ended up with the U.S. Army Federal Civil Service at Aberdeen Proving Ground as a test officer in late 1980. Shortly thereafter, I signed up with the Maryland Army National Guard with a direct support artillery battalion in the Baltimore area, and that went on for another as a part-time officer, finished up in 1998 and went from junior captain to lieutenant colonel. Had the honor to command a D-Day artillery battalion in the Pikesville, Maryland area. And concurrent with that, I was in the Federal Civil Service, worked through at several agencies in the Aberdeen Proving Ground area, as well as Washington, D.C. area. Got transferred down to Orlando to the Simulation Command in the mid-1990s and finished my career there in 2011. I've had some senior positions in the Civil Service to include the senior project officer duties with large amounts of money under management I was responsible for to execute for the Army, and also worked in middle management type positions, and then again retired in 2011. Met my wife Gail in 2008. We were married in 2010. And from there, decided to do some community work. She had retired about the same time from Orange County here locally. And we're off corporate officers and directors for a local homegrown food co-op. Again, this was 2010 through 2011 or so. And decided to get back into gardening. The big challenge for me was I'm from the Maryland, Pennsylvania area.
Well, wait a minute. That's where I'm going to jump in, Colonel, because this is the question I told you I was going to start with, and we're already in it a little way. How did a nice young boy like you from Maryland, Pennsylvania area end up at the United States Military Academy at West Point?
Well, not everybody will agree with this opinion, my opinion only. I was the oldest of five children. I wanted to get out and do my thing as a young adult and not stay at home or whatever my parents might have thought what was in store for me from their standpoint. So to me, the military was my ticket to freedom. Obviously, there's risk and things like that to go with that professional field. But it accomplished a lot of what I wanted for myself. I was fortunate in not incurring any injuries or things like that. And my heart goes out to those that have paid the ultimate price and others.
And I really think this is a pretty common situation where we hear of somebody looking at the military as a way to get, you know, sort of a step up. Yeah, I'm going to have to work hard opportunities are going to be given to me that I have to work to achieve. And clearly that grounding of education, Ralph, gave you a very successful career in product management and being involved in all kinds of sort of senior project management assignments with the U.S. Army Federal Civil Service. So it really, that time in the academy, probably you look back on and feel it sort of shaped your life, I assume.
Very much so. And I have absolutely no regrets about the career path I took, you know, serving the country and others in the process. And now I'm to the point where we're trying to, I think it's time to give back, if you will. And we're just working in a field here with the hydroponics, with the Southern Urban Gardens venture, if you will. And we're finding that this stuff really works. There's a market, there's interest, and the common denominator looks to be, you know, clean food without all the chemicals and things that are in most foods right now that, you know, more and more people are saying, I don't want to eat that stuff.
Well, it's really interesting timing because there is this nationwide movement for locally grown food. And while you're down in Orlando, Florida, this is really a national movement. And Gail, maybe you want to talk to us a little bit about, I know for it's about 6 or 7 years now that you and Ralph have had Southern Urban Gardens. Tell us a little bit of where your thinking was when you got started and where are you today?
Okay. Well, when we first started, it was really for our own personal benefit. Ralph had the experience in farming, but I had not, so he encouraged me to dig up half of our backyard and to start growing our own food. And he pretty much prompted that venture, and when I saw that it could be done, I joined in on it, and again, we started with dirt farming. But, of course, it's a lot more difficult, and the weather in Florida, as it is with the heat and the dirt quality, is not very good. But we did what we could, and then eventually we found out about hydroponics, and we bought some grow towers and found out that we could beat some of the problems we were experiencing with dirt gardening and be able to grow year-round with our hydroponic system. So we started off small with that, and then when we found out we could do very well with the hydroponics, we ended up buying more grow towers. And we ended up selling the produce that we were growing in the grow towers to some of our local food co-ops here in Orlando. And then one day I received an email from my doctor, who's a DO, he's a naturopath and an MD, very much into healthy eating and so forth, and he told me I needed to start growing microgreens because of their health benefits. So I kind of thought about it, and I thought, well, we'll give it a try.
Gail, hang on, or Ralph, tell me what microgreens are for those who on Veterans Radio who may go, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a life cycle, if you will, of a plant that starts with the seed, and the first first example is the sprouts, which are grown without any light, and the plants don't have any green to them, and that's 3 to 5 days, and depending on the plant, it could be a little bit longer, a little bit quicker. Then you move into the microgreens where the plants are exposed to light, and the sprouts become microgreens, and that generally runs 7 to 14 days, and that's, and you look closely at the plants, they generally have no more than 2 leaves. And then the next step is the baby greens, which are 3 leaves or more, and then from there it goes into the mature plant.
And so every vegetable, if you will, goes through this microgreen stage. It's just really early on, I take it.
Yes,
that's correct.
And so, Gail, why did your doctor say you should be growing microgreens?
Because that is at the point where the plant is at the most nutritious stage of its life. And there have been studies to back that up, including the USDA as well as the University of Maryland. And there's been a number of studies to back that up. Or otherwise, he wouldn't have recommended. So that's how we got into growing microgreens.
And you do this, you mentioned it's hydroponic. Maybe you can explain what that is, because you're doing this without pesticides or chemicals. Tell us a little bit about how the, if you will, the purity of the microgreens is maintained.
Well, the way we grow is what we call the pure way. We can't label it organic because organic refers to a method of soil gardening. That's where the certification comes in. But when we say we grow pure, what that means is every aspect of the grow operation is free of chemicals, pesticides, and clean water, too. We filter all of our water to ensure the chlorine, the fluoride, and the chemicals are eliminated out of the process, which helps the plants grow nutritiously. They're also grown on coconut fiber, which is the mat or grow medium by which the plants hold on to when they begin to germinate. And again, we use the purified water. But at this stage of the game, the plant is so young, it doesn't need to be fertilized, so there's no fertilization as well. The plant has built into its brain, if you will, everything that it needs to grow and to grow successfully to the two-week stage that it ends in before it gets into the baby green stage.
Now, you know, Ralph, as a colonel in the Army National Guard, you commanded big things that made big impacts with big troop movements. As you look at growing microgreens, you had to be saying to yourself, they're so small, what am I doing?
Well, if you had come to me at that point in my life, I would have fallen on the floor laughing. It just never crossed my mind. And all I can say is since I met Gail and we've kind of, you know, moved through life here, it's been a real thrill to just be able to do things together with the person you love and actually see results that benefit people around you.
How has the food community, the local VOR community, if you will, responded to the microgreens that you and I assume others in the area may be raising as well?
Well, there's a difference in how we do it versus the distributors, the food distributors. Generally, the microgreens are cut with like big blades and then bagged, and nitrogen is put in the bag to keep it from decomposing, and it's shipped across the country. What we have, it's a living plant that's on a coconut fiber pan that's certified organic, and all the chef has to do is trim it for the dish or whatever they're doing for the menu. And it's fresh. It's as fresh as you're going to get. That's the difference between us versus the competition, if you will.
And Gail, maybe you can comment. Are there certain recipes where this type of microgreen seems to be used more? And is there a particular microgreen that seems to be the preference of people?
Well, as far as recipes in general are concerned, you just need to look at the plant and figure how it would fit in with the plate of food that you're serving. A lot of microgreens are herbs, like basil, for instance. So anything that you would use basil for, grown basil in a recipe, you would use the microgreen as well. For instance, we have a couple of restaurants that serve Italian dishes, so they'll use the microgreen basil for pizza and lasagna toppings.
So this sounds like you can sort of choose a variety of different types of microgreens that you might grow, and then that gives you a different outlet for the selling to chefs or restaurants, it seems.
Oh, yeah. Some chefs are looking for flavor and taste, and others are looking for aesthetics, the garnish. Like, we have some restaurants that just like it to look pretty on the plate. It makes the plate pretty. And some of those colors are a bright red, so they'll take the bright red and the bright green microgreens and garnish the plates with them just strictly for looks.
Now, is this a hobby, or can you, Ralph, can you and Gail cover your costs and make some extra money on this?
We're already doing that. You're kind of getting into trade information, but if you take the 10-by-12 size bedroom that we converted over to grow the microgreens and within the house, so everything's controlled, the estimate on that, and there's been some other information like that on the web, but we estimate, given the number of racks and all, it can hold probably talking about $50,000 to $60,000 in sales revenues before expenses to when that room is fully utilized.
Well, that's obviously a great business opportunity for veterans and for others maybe who want to begin small and something controllable. Ralph, can you talk a little bit about, I know Southern Urban Gardens received the certification as a homegrown by Heroes grower. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, we went through our contacted the Farmer Veteran Coalition, which issues the Homegrown by Heroes certificate. We had to fill out a lengthy form and submit it. And at the time, this going back about 2 years ago, had some discussions with the folks with the coalition, and their focus was primarily on the organic farmer, the startup, and they do provide resources and marketing expertise and things like that. But we at the time did not have a need for it. They were just looking at the hydroponics. They tie in with the USDA Organic Standard Board, which I understand has recently allowed by definition hydroponics to be part of the organic standard. Won't get into the politics behind that, but in any event, what we offered to them at the time was, as we're working through this, we'll get back to them, communicate where we're at, what we're doing, and if there's opportunities for other veterans within the country to do something like this. You know, the information is not trademarked or anything like that. It's basically public domain information. We have that information, and we also just recently started training growers from throughout the country. We have some folks coming down from Chicago this coming weekend. We just got interest from another group up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and want to give a plug to City Hydro, which is out of Baltimore. We trained, Gail and I trained under them about 2 years ago, Larry and Zana, and they've done very well in this niche. They have perfected the growing technology, if you will, and we're working with them in terms of training and whatever else to build the base, if you will. And
well, I think it's a great area, again, that veterans might look at. The Farmer Veteran Coalition, which you can find, by any browser website, provides a lot of information on issues related to more traditional dirt farming for veterans. But they do give out this designation of Homegrown by Heroes. So, veteran radio listeners, if you are in a farmer's market or you see in a market, more traditional market somewhere, that labeling, you can know that that designation has been bestowed on a veteran farmer after some lengthy application process and certification that indeed the grower is a veteran. So you can kind of put your dollars to work with your fellow veterans there. Did you notice that helped at all, Ralph, when you you're selling your products?
We used the label. It didn't provide in my opinion, any benefit one way or the other. But, you know, I'm proud to communicate that, you know, a veteran is part of the Southern Urban Gardens business. I think that will evolve over time to where it's more understood and accepted with the hydroponics. And it's on us to get back to the Farmer Veteran Coalition. I think we're getting close to the point in time where we can get back to them and say, this is what we're doing. Here's where we're at. You may want to consider expanding this, you know, this knowledge base, if you will, because the capital investment here is not a lot. You're only talking probably a couple thousand bucks. The coalition does issue grants. And I think this could fit within that grant program, if you will. But there's, you know, put some sweat equity in it, because there's some work involved, but it's not a lot of hard work. And if this is indoors, you don't have to deal with all the variations you get with, you know, the day-to-day weather, because you can do it, you know, year-round without being concerned about the winter or the hot summer or whatever.
Well, and I think a lot of veterans are also always kind of maybe looking for that hustle, that second job, or something that they can do in addition to what they're doing now. And it sounds like in your instance, Gail, you and Ralph have really made this a team effort, and that's got to be good for other veterans and spouses to have a joint project as well, I would think.
Correct. We have found, at least with some of the people we've trained, they're couples. The one lady that's coming down from up north, she's married, but she's bringing her son because she wants to partner with him. He's a young adult. So it's not just spousal type of thing, but appears to be a family thing as well. And it's not that difficult that other family members can't get involved. In fact, I've got my son, he's grown, and he's on a training schedule as well.
Well, this is great information. We're glad to be able to bring it to our veteran radio listeners, a little different angle about farming. And here it's urban or suburban farming, hydroponically indoors. Very cool. Ralph or Gail, if folks wanted to continue to follow what you're doing, what's the best way for them to keep in touch with you?
Okay, it'd be Facebook, and it's the Southern Urban Gardens. Just type that in, and it should come up, you know, within Facebook.
And do you have a regular training session, or is this something that gets scheduled as people reach out to you?
Scheduled as people reach out to us. Generally, those are done on either a Tuesday or a Saturday.
Well, we're glad to bring this information forward. We're glad to have a little time with Ralph Howlick, Lieutenant Colonel, I should say, retired, and Gail Tyree from Southern Urban Gardens in Orlando, Florida. I want to thank both of you for your time. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans. And you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.